When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our book club pick, The Spirit-Filled Life by Charles Stanley, Discover the Joy of Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. If you do not have this book, the link is in the show notes for you to get it. I try to do every episode to where, whether you have the book or not, you still are getting the core message and you are able to benefit and grow from it. But this is one of my top three Christian books of all time. So I highly suggest, whether you are reading it in real time with us or if you're reading it on your own time, I highly suggest that you get this book because I believe that every believer needs to read it. So we are landing on part two in today's episode. We have completed part one, the first five chapters of the book, and it was all about looking up, really understanding who the Holy Spirit is, what the Spirit-filled life is. The author did a great job of really sharing a lot of his personal story and his personal journey to living the Spirit-filled life. And so where we land on part two is all about looking within and really just trying to get the practical aspect of how do we live this life for real? How is this not just lip service? How is the Holy Spirit not just someone that we can talk about or intellectualize, but how can we really tap into and experience the transformation that happens when you live a life that is dependent on the Holy Spirit? And so that is where we're going to be going here in part two. Chapter six, the title is The Faith Factor. He starts off by saying, there is a big difference between looking at an image of a place and actually being there. A photograph may invoke in you a desire to go, but only the place itself can satisfy that desire. Thus far, I have only painted a picture. I have not attempted to take you anywhere. So why the delay? Much like a physical journey, our spiritual journeys are undertaken first by way of acknowledgement, then by application. Before you make plans to go somewhere, you must first believe that such a place really exists and that you can get there. In our pursuit of a Spirit-filled life, we begin by accepting that there is such a life, that we can experience it, and that the Spirit who indwells us has the power and desire to bring about great change in our characters and perspectives. We begin by accepting what is true as truth. Only then can we act upon it. Only then will we act upon it. Remember, we are transformed in the truest sense by the renewing of our minds, not our wills. And that's according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Jesus said that freedom comes through knowing the truth before doing anything. And that's in John 8, 32. The Spirit-filled life is a life of faith. Faith, as opposed to hope, always has truth as its object. What is true, whether we accept it or not. Faith does not create truth. It simply receives and takes hold of it. The truth that serves as the object and foundation of the Spirit-filled life is 1, the Holy Spirit indwells you, 2, He is the life of Christ in you, and 3, He is willing and able to produce the character of Christ through you. These and possibly more are the objects of your faith. Believe them, cling to them, they are true, And as they become part of your thinking, you will be transformed. In some ways, this book thus far has been a brochure advertising a place I'm convinced you ought to visit. I hope that my experiences have whet your appetite. Beginning here, I will attempt to lead you beyond the picture and into the reality of the spirit-filled life. I believe I mentioned when we were discussing chapter 5 how one of the things that I was looking for as I revisited this book was practical things that I could implement on a day-to-day. Because I'm sure, as many of you may have experienced as well, I have found myself in the spirit-filled life or living the spirit-filled life and then getting sucked into the realities of day-to-day life. And I personally was kind of getting tired of like that back and forth where I would be committed and really focused on being dependent on the Holy Spirit and then life and busyness. And then I'll kind of get sucked back into that. And then I'll experience just the stress and the anxiety that comes with that. And then that'll send me back to the spirit-filled life, because I recognize that apart from him, I can do nothing. Like we talked about this in the last episode. And so I revisited this book for myself because I'm in a transitional season with a third child now, getting ready to start law school. I am afraid of what will happen if I don't do this without God. I am afraid of the consequences of this back and forth that I feel like I've been doing for however long. So in rereading this book, in addition to us discussing it on the podcast, I'm strategically looking for the practical things that I could take out and incorporate into my day to day. And I believe one of those things is found here in this introduction where he says the truth that serves as the object and foundation of the spirit-filled life is 1, the Holy Spirit indwells you. 2, he is the life of Christ in you. And 3, he is willing and able to produce the character of Christ through you. I look at these as potential affirmations, and I'm calling this out because I want anybody else who wants to consistently live the spirit-filled life to recognize these things. I want us to get away from intellectualizing our faith in our spiritual experience. I want us to get away from the emotional high of a good episode, but it not translating into the day-to-day. I want us to get away from the back and forth, the in and out. I want us to live this way constantly. And so I'm going to be highlighting as we read this book all of the practical things that you can implement into your life as I'm doing that for myself. So these three things, when I saw them, I circled them and immediately thought about affirmations. In the world, especially in new age spaces, you hear a lot about affirmations and all the things that you could say to encourage yourself and build yourself up. You'll hear things like, I am powerful, I am worthy, I am all of these things. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with speaking positively over yourself. But my Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. My Bible says that we are to meditate on the word day and night. And so these statements and affirmations that the world promotes are cool. However, in my opinion, what is truly transformative is if I'm speaking, 1, the word of God, and 2, I am focusing myself not on me, but on him. Because despite my limitations, I could tell myself I'm wonderful and amazing all day, but it is not my strength that I am leaning on to get me through any day. It is the strength of the Lord. His strength is perfected in my weakness. So I don't need to look in the mirror and talk to me about me. I need to look in the mirror and remind my flesh about him, to focus my mind on him, focus my heart on him. And that is the strength that will carry me through every day. That is the peace then that will be produced, the self-control that will be produced, the patience that will be produced. Those are fruits of his spirit. And I'm not saying that you can't encourage yourself by all means, but what I am saying is, in order for us to live this spirit-filled life, in order for us to experience the transformation that he has for us, we have to focus on him and we have to focus on us just being the branch. And if you missed the last episode, we talked about chapter 5, that's in reference to John 15, where he is the vine and we are the branches. That's what I mean by we focus on being the branch. So if I look at these three truths that were outlined here, what that could practically look like in the morning is, instead of just saying empty affirmations, I can remind myself the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. He is the life of Christ in me. He is willing and able to produce the character of Christ through me. These are things that you could say in the morning, in addition to scripture that you could turn into affirmation statements. There are some other things I have highlighted here that I'll discuss as we get to it. But write those three truths down so that you can add this into your devotional time or your morning routine in a meaningful way. All right, back to the book. The author then goes on to talk about the reality or the essential truth of faith. He says, as a child, I had no problem understanding and accepting the concept of salvation by faith. There was nothing I could do to save myself, so I simply trusted Christ's death on the cross as the payment for my sin. By placing my trust in that fact or truth, I was born again. Faith is the way we enter into salvation. It is the means by which we accept God's free gift. For some strange reason, after entering into this relationship by faith, I began working at it in my own strength and defining my progress by my actions. It was as if I said to God, "Thanks for the gift. I'll take it from here." I wrongly assumed that it was my responsibility to produce righteousness, that God had left it up to me to change myself and become a better person. How absurd. If I could produce righteousness on my own, why did Christ need to die for me? The truth is, on my own, I can't produce 1 ounce of righteousness, neither before nor after salvation. I believe that many of us find ourselves in this same spot of this performance-based faith, where we give our life to Christ and then we go to do all the things that we feel like we should do to prove ourselves to be righteous. I know when I first gave my life to Christ, I did the exact same thing. I put on my Christian mask and just started behaving the way that I felt like I should behave as a Christian, as opposed to just truly trusting in the Lord to produce transformation in me. I was trying to transform myself, and that don't even make no sense. But so many of us do the exact same thing, where it's like, okay, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pray every morning. I'm going to read my little devotional and the verse of the day. I'm going to get my streaks every day in the Bible app. I'm going to journal a couple lines and boom, I've hit my Christian quota for the day. And then my heart, my mind, and everything else is going to look the same. My friends may change, the way I dress may change, how I speak may change, but my heart is still the same because I'm trying to change myself as opposed to humbling myself, submitting and surrendering myself to the Lord so that He can transform me. And I feel like we understand logically that we can't save ourselves. We understood that, and that's why we got saved in the first place. However, our need for control a lot of times keeps us from the true transformation that the Lord has for us. And I'm glad that the author highlighted that, because it is from this foundation and this understanding that we could truly step into the lived experience of a spirit-filled life. I have highlighted here, the author says, God, because of His amazing love, applied the righteousness of Christ to our account. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:21. By putting our sin on Jesus and placing His righteous standing on us, God allows us entry into His family, a family where only the blameless are allowed. Keep in mind, it's not our holiness that redeems us, it's the Savior's. Notice the last two words from the verse quoted above, in Him. Our righteousness stems from the fact that we are in Christ. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. You just realized that your business needed to hire somebody yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people that you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. I've hired many times and it's always very slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. He goes on to say, faith is believing that God will do as he promised. It is not a power or something we must stir up inside ourselves. Faith is trusting that God will honor his promises because of his faultless character and limitless ability. That is all there is to it. Our part in the faith process is fairly simple. We are to go about our lives making decisions, handling crisis, raising our families, and so on, with confidence that God is really going to do what he said he would do. That's what it means to walk by faith. The author then goes into the story of David and Goliath. He says, one of the best examples of how this works is also one of the most familiar stories in the Old Testament, the story of David and Goliath. The armies of Israel were lined up on one side of the Valley of Elah, and the Philistines were on the other side. Every day, Goliath would walk down the valley and taunt the armies of Israel. Then young David arrived on the scene with a fresh outlook on the situation. Notice what he said when he heard Goliath's threats. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? That's in 1 Samuel 17:26. David didn't see Goliath as merely the enemy of Israel. He understood that Goliath was coming against the armies of the Lord. He was God's enemy. And David knew that the Lord God Almighty would take Goliath out of the picture with no problem. So David acted on his faith. There were hundreds, maybe even thousands of trained Israelite soldiers who were much more qualified to do battle with Goliath. But their response to his threats was paralyzing fear, stress, frustration. They realized their own strength was no match for the huge champion of the Philistines. David, on the other hand, didn't seem to be upset at all. Why? Because he recognized it was God's battle to fight, not his. Apart from the Lord, he knew he didn't stand a chance, but with divine help, he was confident that everything would turn out all right. Do you see the contrast? Neither the Israelite soldiers nor David had the ability to do battle with the giants. But while the Israelite soldiers focused on their lack of ability and panicked, David focused on God's provision. The only difference was focus, or what each was trusting in. So what did David do? Exactly what he knew how to do, while trusting the Lord to do the rest. This is what living by faith boils down to, living with confidence that God is faithful to keep his word. David gathered a few stones, walked down into the valley, carried on a short but rather heated exchange with Goliath, loaded his slingshot, and fired. Those actions were not out of the ordinary for David, but once that stone left the sling, God stepped in and did what only he could do, and Goliath went down. I have highlighted here the word focus, because that's the point. When I'm pulling out the different things that we could do in our day-to-day and our rhythms, not routines, it's about focus. When you wake up in the morning, what do you focus on? Do you focus on the truth of the Lord? Do you focus on Christ and he who lives in you? Do you focus on what's above, or do you focus on what's in front of you? Do you focus on the world by opening up your phone as soon as you open your eyes and scrolling and start consuming everything that the world has to say, everything that's going on? Or do you focus on what the Holy Spirit is saying? Or do you focus on setting the tone for the day? When you're going throughout the day and life happens, are you focused on how overwhelmed you may feel based upon whatever's piling on? Or are you focused on the fact that you can do what only you can do and God will take care of the rest? Focusing on one produces panic. Focusing on the other produces peace. And how you decide to govern yourself will determine which outcome you get. That's why we have to talk about living a spirit-filled life, because we have to focus on what our life is supposed to be and not just let life happen to us. There is a way of living that the Lord has for us that is designed for us, that he loved us so much to give us, that we have to accept and live out. And unfortunately, we live in flesh that doesn't want to live that way. Our flesh is bent towards sin. It wants to do what it wants to do. But we have to choose to live by the Spirit. And we do that by choosing what we focus on. The author says that faith is the Holy Spirit's signal to go into action. David activated his trust in God long before he activated his will. Before he began his walk into the valley, he exercised his confidence in the Lord. Remember this dialogue with King Saul just before the big battle. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on the account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And that's in 1 Samuel 17:32 through 37. David walked into the valley in response to what he believed God will do. His activity flowed from his faith. He did what he knew to do while trusting the Lord to keep his word. David didn't react to his circumstances. He responded with absolute faith in the unfailing promises of God. And I will note here, what David also did was he used the previous victories to encourage him for this upcoming battle. And we have to do the same thing. I always talk about the importance of keeping God's track record. Because once you start to record and recollect how the Lord has deemed you victorious in whatever battles you faced in your life, going up against the next one is less of a big deal because you've seen God move too much. And even if you can't recall or you haven't written down all the ways in which the Lord has shown up for you, we have a full Bible full of so many ways in which the Lord has come through. So we have our experience. We have the experiences of those in the Word. We have the experiences of others, especially with all of the access that we have now with the internet. We have access to other people's testimonies that can encourage us. One of my favorite things to do is watch testimony videos. I'll go to like these pages and just listen to the stories of people and their life experiences and how the Lord saved them, because it encourages me. It encourages me because I know that the same God that brought them out of all of those difficulties, that continues to sustain them through their current difficulty, will do the same thing for me. I keep all of my old journals. And this is something I did early on in my walk with God, where I would write down a prayer request and then I would go back and write when it was answered and the date. And then I would put like a little sticky note or a tab on that page of my journal. And so whenever I needed to build my own faith and I knew the Lord was calling me to give a yes in some type of way, I would go back to those old journals and I would use those tabs to flip through and remind myself, man, I prayed about this and he did that. Man, I prayed about this and he did that. I didn't even pray about this and he did that. This podcast serves as a great motivator for me as well, because when I post these old episodes, I know what I was doing and what I was going through off the microphone. And so the fact that I can recall my real life struggle, but then hear the way in which the Lord moved on the episode, that encourages me to continue to show up and hit record when I don't feel like it. When I feel like I need God for me, not for me to communicate it to anybody else, it still encourages me. When y'all send me messages, I've gotten a few this week and I'm so grateful for them. Thank you. When y'all leave me reviews, those things, I add them to God's track record. And when you keep his track record, it allows you to stay focused on him. So no matter what the Goliath may be for you, your focus is not on fear. It's not on the severity of the situation. It's on the fact that no matter how severe the situation is, I trust the Lord and in whatever outcome he sees fit. Not the outcome. I'm not trusting the Lord to do what I want him to do, but I'm trusting the Lord for whatever outcome he sees fit. And I trust and know that whatever that is, it's best. So if you don't have, and this will be some homework, if you don't have God's track record recorded in any type of way, I would suggest that you do it. Write it down in the notes section on your phone. I love to keep notes in my phone because I can search it across all my devices. Put it in your phone or something, God's track record, and just write down any way that you could think of that the Lord has come through. And whatever battle, whatever giant comes up, refer back to that track record and read it. When you wake up in the morning and you're getting ready to start your day, instead of scrolling, when you go into your quiet time, go to God's track record and read it. Spend some time in worship. Spend some time in the Word and read his track record that's all throughout the text. And let that be your focus as you start your day and watch how that activates a new way of living for you. This next part I thought was so good because it goes to what we were talking about in the last episode with internal harmony. It says, when you're under pressure, are you a reactor or a responder? When you are face to face with the giants of lust or jealousy, when your emotions are overwhelming, do you find yourself thinking, oh God, I know what I should do. I know what the right course of action is. I should just walk away, but I don't know if I can do it. These are the thoughts of a reactor, of a person who is not prepared for the trials that come. And I wrote in the margin here that cognitive overload places us in a reactive state. This is what we learned last week, where we were talking about internal harmony and the psychological things that keep us from that space. And one of those things was cognitive overload. And that's what we went into detail on in the last episode. And what we learned there is that one of the downsides or the consequences of cognitive overload is that it places you in a reactive state. And that reactive state is not us being in position to live a spirit-filled life. I thought that was so interesting how we were just discussing it, and here it comes up again in the book. He says, if pressures or temptations automatically push you into reaction mode, you are destined for failure most of the time. Why? Because it's a sure sign that you're trying to produce righteousness on your own. However, a responder activates his faith before he activates his will. He believes before he behaves. He believes before he behaves. He is prepared for the trials that arise. Granted, David had the luxury of several hours to prepare mentally and spiritually for his battle. Often, we only have milliseconds. I remember the other day, I was scrolling on my phone. I think I was up breastfeeding or something. And my mood was just off. I just felt just sad. And it was just weird how I felt. And I took a second and I'm like, God, why do I feel like this? And he said, because you're scrolling on your phone. And I had realized I just read in the span of the 15 minutes that I had been on my phone about multiple people passing away, tragedy that's happening here, a plane or something happened, a shooting somewhere else. I just read about so many devastating things so quickly. And it killed my mood and robbed me of the joy of the moment. And this happens all the time where you may be in a space where you are excited about what the Lord is doing in your business. You've been sitting with him. He's been showing you things. You're making baby steps towards what he's shown you. And then you get online and you see somebody that isn't even following the Lord doing exactly what you are going to be doing. And they're super successful at it. And you're triggered now. Because why are they able to get this so easily, but I'm doing it God's way and it's so hard for me? So now something you were happy about 5 minutes ago, now you're upset and frustrated simply because of what you saw. And this happens not even just online, but in person. It could be as simple as you driving on the road and somebody cuts you off and it makes you mad. And now you're angry and reacting versus being calm and peaceful. You could be saving yourself for marriage and you're just watching a TV show. Next thing you know, a sex scene comes up and now you're triggered because you get that physical urge. You are saving yourself. You're trying to resist all the temptations. And now that temptation is smacking you right in the face. There are so many opportunities and they happen so quickly. But in his next section, he talks about how every moment counts. He says that you may be tempted to argue that there is no time to exercise faith before exercising will, not in a real world anyway. Things happen too fast. We are easily taken off guard. There is no way to be prepared for temptations, rejections, and jealousy. More times than not, we are taken by complete surprise. But I beg to differ. We can be prepared. We can make the first move. Let me ask you a question. How many days a week, on average, are you tempted? How often are you forced to deal with some inordinate emotion that has the potential of doing serious damage to your reputation and relationships if expressed? For me, it averages out to 7 days a week. And I imagine the same is true for you. We know it's coming. Therefore, the wisest action to take is to begin every day by exercising our faith against the anticipated onslaughts. We don't need to wait until we are in the thick of the battle to claim the promises of God. By that time, it's too late. Certainly, there is time to express faith in the Holy Spirit when you see things building. But even better, go ahead and exercise your faith before the struggle begins. And when it does, you will think, I've already dealt with this. Remember, David claimed victory long before the battle began, and we have the opportunity to do the same. Isn't it true that we fight the same giants every day? We can't time our battles the way David did. But God knows when the enemy will attack. The onslaughts never catch him off guard. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and is ready to go to work producing the character of Christ through you. All he needs is your faith. His green light is your willingness to say, Holy Spirit, I cannot handle this. I'm not even going to try. Respond through me. Give me your perspective on this. I trust you. At that point, you do what you know to do and you trust him to fill in the gaps. That is the essence of the spirit-filled life. It is a life of taking God at his word and acting on it. He says, why not begin right now? Think for a moment. What giants are you more than likely going to face in the next few hours? What emotions will you battle? If today is like most days, what temptations will you face? Begin claiming the victory right now. Activate your faith. Pray the following prayer and write this down. I'll put this in the show notes as well, because this is another opportunity for us to take this off the pages of the book, off the audio of this podcast, and place it in the reality of our day to day. This is a strategy. So think about what you know you're going to face that day. You know that person that get on your nerves at your job is going to get on your nerves tomorrow and the next day. You already know it. You know that you are feeling uneasy about this venture into entrepreneurship. You already know it. It was the same yesterday and it's the same today. You know that finances may be difficult right now in this economy. You know that. There's a lot, as he said, that we can anticipate. So that's what you're going to insert here into this prayer. It says, Lord, I claim the victory right now over the giant of, insert your giant here. I recognize that this giant is coming up against the Christ in me. Just as you defeated this giant when you walked on this earth, you can defeat it through me now, for you are my life. I trust you to produce peace and self-control through me. I cannot handle what is to come, but you can. Respond through me. When the pressure comes, remind me that the battle is yours. Amen. He says, if you will begin every day with a declaration of victory over the specific giants in your life, you will experience victory. Begin tomorrow morning on your knees. Think through the temptations you will face, the pressures you will feel, and the rejections you are likely to encounter. Item by item, thank God for the victory. Remind him that at the cross, Christ paid the price not only for your sin, but also for your victory. By doing so, you activate your faith before activating your will to resist on your own. When the temptation or pressure does come, tell the Holy Spirit, write this down, put this in your notes. Christ has already dealt with this, and I have already claimed his power, so handle it through me. I am simply a branch. Produce your good fruit through me. And I think that's a good place to end. I pray that this blessed you. I pray that this gave you strategy and practical tools. I tried to highlight all of them for you that you can implement so that you can start living this spirit-filled life and seeing the fruit of it on a day-to-day. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today. When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.